Welcome to Burning Hearts with Pastor Michael Kraft, a ministry of the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. Here's a preview of what you'll hear from Pastor Michael today.
It was dark and it was yucky, but I think there were times when Noah and his wife and his kids and their wives could go up there and open the window or stand by that top of that wall on the third deck and breathe that in. And I think God provides moments, gang, where we can be refreshed, where we can have the light shine. Times like what we're doing right now, diving into God's word and letting it speak to us and things like that. It's a beautiful thing to be able to call a time out in the middle of a stuffy day and to say, ah, Lord, thank you.
Do you ever feel overwhelmed? Sure you do. Everyone does. But we shouldn't let that distract us from God's will. In today's message, Pastor Michael speaks about Noah and the complexity and shape of the ark. Did you know that God instructed Noah to build an opening near the top in order to let in fresh air? That opening allowed Noah and his family to get that fresh air when they needed it. In the same way, God tells us to leave openings in our busy lives to refresh ourselves with Him and His Word. Now, here's Pastor Michael in the book of Genesis chapter 6 as he continues his message, as in the days of Noah.
I am not the judge. He is the righteous judge of all the earth. And so people, you know, the worst isn't funerals. You know, well, they hated God and they, you know, never went to church and they never read their Bible and everything. But Pastor, do you think they're in heaven? And I'll be like, you know, I'm not the judge. I don't know. I don't know where their heart was when they died. I don't know. I just know what the Bible says. In my head, I'm going, no, they're burning in hell right now. They're burning. I'm judging them, but I don't say it out loud because I'm a Christian. Sorry. It's just us, right? I can say stuff like that. You guys still love me? Anyway, we got to be careful who we start judging. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, Paul says, I want you to work out your own salvation. I think there are people that are working out their salvation. And who am I to judge? Does that make sense? There's room in this boat going to heaven, is my point. And then it says, they're continuing verse 14, make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it with pitch inside and outside. So this was kind of cool as I was studying this. The only time in the Old Testament where this word for pitch is used is right here. It's the only time. It's kafer. And so it's really hard to find other instances so that you can use it in context here. There are 70 other passages where the word is used, but it's not translated pitch. One time it's translated pitch. 70 other times, you know what it's translated as? Atonement. And I thought, well, that's strange. How come it's pitch here? But I think, again, this thing is a beautiful picture. If you look at Webster's dictionary, what does atonement mean? It means amends made for an injury, for a wrong, or for a sin. Someone told me a long time while in Bible college, I learned this. Atonement means at-one-ment. At-one-ment. Atonement is just as God provided a way for Noah to be saved in the ark, and then he tells him to build it out of gopher wood and make rooms in it and then cover it inside and out with this pitch, God has provided for you and I at-one-ment through the death of Jesus Christ. We can be one with him and with each other. Atonement, I like that. Pretty cool. Okay, verse 15. This is how you are to make it, God says. The ark will be 450 feet long. Now, my old translation that I read was like cubits. It used to say cubits, but somebody did the math and figured out what a cubit is and multiplied it. And so I love how it says here. Nice. I can understand it. This is how you're to make it. The ark will be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Okay. This thing, and I know we have all the pictures. Kelly, I have a picture of some guy actually built this boat, and it's sitting somewhere, and they're trying to move it. As last I read, they're trying to move it to another place, but he built it so big. Usually the ark looks something like this. Even the recreations, there's Christians that have rebuilt this thing. I found four or five around the world that have been rebuilt, and they tried to follow all these measurements and everything. And they usually look something like this, kind of pretty. You know, the rounded front, and then they've got it's just all the little windows and everything. The truth is, it was probably more like a floating box. It wasn't made to navigate through water. It was made to float. You guys with me? No rudder. Probably looked like a floating box. And look at verse 16 here. It says, you are to make a roof finishing the sides of the ark to within 18 inches of the roof. Okay, now the older translations don't say this. They say they put the word window in there. And the reason is because the word that's translated roof or window can be interchangeable. So we're not really totally sure what's going down here. But the newer translations and a lot of Bible scholars believe this, that the walls, if you can picture a box, okay, everybody look at me real quick. You picture this box, the walls of the box go up, and then they've got the roof that's probably got an angle to it, but the roof doesn't lean on the edges of the walls. That makes sense? There's 18 inches, which is a foot and a half, between the roof and the top of the wall is how this is translated here. Does that make sense? Which would make sense if you think about how many animals they were shoving in there and the poop and the food and all that, the smell. It would be nice to have 18 inches of ventilation around the top. Does that make sense? Now, if that's the case, I think that probably is the case, but it doesn't totally matter, because if it was a window that they put 18 inches from the top or one cubit, the same idea that I want to bring out right now is true. And that is, the window could be something that Noah could have opened up and fresh air, sunlight, or whatever could have come in. Does that make sense? It only rained for 40 days, but they were on it much longer than that. Either way, regardless of, you know, who cares? But either way, I think it's pretty cool that God provided a way for fresh air and light to get in. If you were stuck for months and months at a time, smelling elephant poop and all the noise and everything, it would be nice to go up, we're going to read here in a second, on the third deck and stand by that wall where there's an opening and breathe the fresh air and let the light hit you, or open the window and breathe the fresh. Does that make sense? And I was thinking about that and how that relates to our life and our salvation and things like that. And the truth is, in the midst of dark and stuffy times, when the wind is bobbing and the waves are crashing and you know, you're just like, when are we going to get out of here? This life is miserable. We read the story, and it's so beautiful and pretty, and the clean hay and the giraffe's head is sticking out the window. And, you know, what was this really like? It was stuffy and it was dark and it was yucky. But I think there were times when Noah and his wife and his kids and their wives could go up there and open the window or stand by that top of that wall on the third deck and breathe that in. And I think God provides moments, gang, where we can be refreshed, where we can have the light shine. Times like what we're doing right now, diving into God's word and letting it speak to us and things like that. It's a beautiful thing to be able to call a time out in the middle of a stuffy day and to say, ah, Lord, thank you. I needed a minute with your presence. Does that make sense? We need that time. I was going through Psalm 119 and it just talks about that, allowing God's word to be in my life and in my thinking and reshaping my thoughts for the day is so important, right? It'd be so much easier, by the way, to just turn on the TV than to get in the car and come out in the rain and come to a Bible study where, you know, there's only a few people. And it'd be so much easier just to do anything else. But there's something about getting into the word and letting the light of his word and the breath of his spirit blow on us a little bit. It's a good deal. And gang, you and I will walk in the light only to the extent that we choose to open up the window, stand on the third deck. We will, let me say it, we will walk in the light and the refreshment of the Lord only to the extent that we allow the Lord to refresh us. Does that make sense? When people say, oh, I just tried the Christian thing and it just didn't work for me. And I'm like, I don't know if you really did, man. Because if you, I don't see how you, when you spend time in the presence of the Lord, like how it's not awesome, you know? Taste and see that the Lord is good. It's not taste and see that the Lord is lame. It's not that. It's awesome. You're going to love it. But if you didn't think it was awesome, then maybe you didn't taste the Lord and you haven't let him refresh you. It's really hard to be crashing in the waves and your boat of your life is going up and down. We need times where we get up on the third deck and peek over the wall and, okay, There's still sun out there somewhere. It's great. All right, verse 16, the end of it says, make it with lower, middle, and upper deck. So there's the three decks there. Pretty cool. Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped the part where it said about the door, didn't I? Let me read that. God says, you are to put a door in the side of the ark. I just wanted to point this out because I think it's interesting. There was only one door, just one door. There was no back door. And God shuts the door. Noah can't open the door. Now, if there was a window, he could open the window, but he couldn't open the door. One door, no back door, no other way in or out. You're in there, okay? What am I thinking about? How does this relate to salvation? There is one door. There's one way in, right? Jesus said in John 14, 6, one that we all probably have memorized, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one's coming to the Father except through me. And people say, Pastor Michael, you know, I don't understand why Alpine Chapel, why you guys all have to be so closed-minded over there, you know? It's, why can't we just all be free? And, you know, why do you have to come down on everybody? It's all about Jesus. You know, I think last night I was invited to a home, and there was a lot of people around the table. There was a party, and I'm eating dinner, and I got set next to a 77-year-old man, and we talked for an hour and a half, and he told me his whole story, and he came to church here. He was here at church on Sunday and very interested in what I was saying. And he said, he goes, you know, you are really into Jesus. I could tell that. And I said, yeah, I am. And he goes, I had a near-death experience, and I'm an electee or trustee or something at my Methodist church now. And after I got out of that, I just thought, I got to do something for the Lord. And so I'm in this thing. He goes, but I really believe that it just doesn't matter what you believe. As long as you're a good person, you're going to make it, you know? And what do you think about that? Because you just seem to be all about Jesus. And I really didn't want to argue with him, you know? I just wanted to eat. And I don't want to make him mad or anything, but I said, well, you know, sometimes we'll have to disagree on things, and I would disagree with you because Jesus himself said, John 14, 6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father but by me. He goes, but, you know, what about, you know, just all the questions that everybody said, what about the people that have never heard? And I was like, well, God makes himself known. Romans chapter 1 says that he's shown himself to people through creation. And so we talked, and he goes, yeah, we're just going to have to disagree on that. I was like, okay, you can be wrong. Why do you guys have to be so closed-minded? Why can't there just be a bunch of doors? Because there's one door to the ark. And that's just one way to get in. That's how God made it. Sorry. If God had five ways to enter, I would actually think that would be a bummer. I'm glad that there's just one way. I think if God made five ways, Satan would come up with 25 counterfeits. Does that make sense? If there were 10 ways to get in, Satan would have 10,000 counterfeits, okay? But there's one way. I think God did that because he knows I'm sort of hard-headed. I don't get things really quick. So God just makes it really simple. It's this. It's Jesus. I don't want anybody to choose the wrong door if I have multiple doors. It's very simple, Michael. It's Jesus. Very simple. It's just one. All right. Now he says, make it with a lower, middle, and upper deck. Just as there are three levels on the ark, I think that there are three levels in a Christian's walk. Now, what am I talking about here? So let me just say this. All three of those decks are saved. They're on the boat. They're all headed to salvation, okay? In our case, all three of these levels are headed the same direction. But there are levels of maturity for a Christian. There are. I don't know if anybody ever told you that, but there are. In the book of 1 John chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, look it up, write it down, look it up later. But we read that there are little children who know the Father. That's level one. Little children that know the Father, or spiritually, he's talking about little babes in Christ. And then he says, there are young men who have overcome the wicked one and in whom the word of God abides. And then the third deck, there are fathers who, because they have known him from the beginning, have an intimate and deep relationship with God. So here's the deal. If someone comes to Christ right away, they are not, there's not a maturity level that someone who's been walking with Christ, hopefully for 50 years. Does that make sense? Now, don't hear me say that God loves this one up here more than he loves the new babe. He doesn't. But Paul makes reference to this all the time. Like he goes, I wish I didn't have to always give you guys milk. Like, I want to give you guys the meat, man, but you're babies in Christ. Like, grow the stink up. You know, there is a maturity that I think Christ is looking for. And so I just love that in 1 John chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, these different levels of maturity for those who've been saved. All right, let's go to verse 17 and 18. Everybody still with me tonight? We got 5 minutes. We're going to finish it up. Verse 17 and 18. Understand, God says, that I'm bringing a flood, floodwaters on the earth to destroy every creature under heaven with the breath of life in it. Everything on earth will perish. Like, God wants to make this super duper clear to Noah. You need to understand, you know, people today say, well, I think maybe it was a localized flood, like maybe just in that area of Asia Minor, you know. If you believe that, then you don't take the Bible literally in what it says here. It says, everything on the earth will perish, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark with your sons, your wife, and your son's wife. Eight people were going to enter the ark, okay? And there was going to be some trials. It was going to be hard. It was going to be some bobbing up and down, and there was going to be some questions and concerns and all that. But guess what? They were headed to a fresh start. When they came out of that ark, there wasn't going to be nasty video games anymore. You know, it was going to be completely fresh start. So yeah, it's hard. It's hard. Gang, this life is trouble. Bible says, Jesus said, in this life, you will have many, many troubles. But take heart. I've overcome this life, this world. And so, you know, take heart. You know, this is not our home. This is why I say this all the time. We got to remind each other. Oh yeah, this sucks here. That's not our home. I get it. You know, it's hard. I know. I get it. Yeah. Whoa, what's going on? When are we going to get out of here, Dad? Can you imagine Noah? Like, shut up, Japheth. Tired of you whining all the time, bro. Yeah, are we there yet, Ham? Ham's like, are we there yet, Dad? No, we're not there yet. Go scoop donkey dung, you know? So anyway, just imagine that sometimes life's like that. Like, can we just go? Yeah, hold on, man. Because the door, God's going to open that door. We're going to go into a fresh start, a new life. I love it. All right, verse 19. God says, you are also to bring into the ark two of all the living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of everything, from the birds according to their kinds, from the livestock according to their kinds, and from the animals that crawl on the ground according to their kinds. They will come to you so that you can keep them alive. So the idea of Noah going out, you know, I've heard people say, you know, 10 years he's going out trying to hunt down these animals or whatever. They came to him. Like, God moved. I don't get it, you know. That's awesome. So he said, they're going to come to you so that you can keep them alive. Take with you every kind of food that is eaten. Gather it as food for you and for them. Now, this is the big thing that a lot of people have a problem with, us literalists. They'll say, well, you know, there's no way a boat that big could fit every animal on the earth. And that's just ridiculous. I can't believe you guys believe that. We had a gentleman here who was sort of an interesting fella named Vlad, and he's gone home. But I was teaching a class one night, and he just stood up and ran out that door very angry with me and didn't come to church for a long time until right before he passed away. I met him up here, and we talked, and he forgave me. But I didn't change my... He just didn't understand. How can you believe that all those animals fit on one boat? It doesn't make sense. So I'm going to try to explain why I think it does make sense. Big books I have on this, so I'm just trying to sum it down. Okay, I'm going to read it so I don't mess it up. But three stories, okay, in this thing. The ark contained 97,000 square feet in it, okay? Well, how big is that? It is equivalent to 520 boxcars that you would pull behind a train, okay? 520 boxcars is 97,000 square feet. Now, taxonomists tell us that on the earth today, there are 3,500 species of mammals. There are 8,600 species of birds. There are 5,500 reptiles and amphibians, Fish obviously wouldn't be on the ark. They would be swimming in the water. And then there's 25,000 species of worms that probably would have fit into the cracks. You add all of those numbers up, you come up with 17,600 species of animals. Multiply that by two for male and female, and you come up with 35,200 species. The average size of an animal is they've said is about a large sheep. Okay, so if you just average that out, because there's very, very small animals, and then of course there's elephants and things like that. But the average size is the size of a small sheep. The average size of the 17,600 species of animals is 35,000. So 35,200 sheep would easily fit in only 120 boxcars. But I told you there's 520 boxcars of space. So you double it up and you do all of that, the average size, they would fit into 120. Even if you double that number to include species that might have been extinct or dinosaurs and things like that, that people say, well, what about the dinosaurs? You know, I read Job chapter 40, Job chapter 41. I believe dinosaurs were on the earth with man. We have found fossilized footprints of man right next to dinosaurs. I believe that they coexisted together. I have no problem at all believing that dinosaurs were on the ark, but they're extinct now. You know, we don't have them anymore. I mean, there's a lot of animals we don't have anymore. So even if you double that, 120 boxcars, you make it 240 boxcars, you still have 280 empty boxcars left on this thing. You with me? So that's a lot of room for food for Noah and his family to chill out. And by the way, who says that all of these doubled up animals and dinosaurs and things had to be full grown adults? They could have been, you know, you said, well, the brontosaurus, man, have you seen the bones of a brontosaurus? Those things are huge. Yeah, they are. But when they're babies, they're like this big. So if you took two babies and they were on there for 5 or 6 months, you guys with me? So to try to say it's just impossible to make this happen, I'm trying to tell you, you know, I'm not a scientist, and I didn't go out there and measure things myself, but from what I've studied and seen, it's absolutely feasible that this could be the case. Does that make sense? And by the way, it says according to their kinds. So that's another big thing that we've talked about a lot when we were in Genesis chapter 1. And there's a lot of boxcars left. Verse 22, this is the last verse in the chapter. Here it is. And Noah did this. He did everything that God had commanded him. I just love that verse. Could that be said of our lives at the end? You know, yeah, Michael, he did it. He did everything God commanded him to do. What if Noah didn't do everything that God commanded him to do? We wouldn't be here. What if he said, yeah, I'll do the walls, but I'm not putting a roof on this thing. Noah, you're going to fill up with water, bro. You have to put a roof. He did everything that God commanded him. How often do Christians today, they're like, yeah, well, I've done this. Do you do everything that God's commanded you, down to the minutest detail? Because everything that God commanded him was important for his life. Does that make sense? So too with us. If Noah had just given it a good shot, oh, well, it's close enough, good enough for government work. I'm measuring those boards downstairs and nailing them up. And sometimes I'm like, it's good enough for government work. What if Noah felt like that, dude? He did everything exactly like God called him to do. What a convicting statement for me, man. I love it. He finished what God told him to finish, and he did it, and he saved the world. And I think that, again, it's a picture. Noah, the boat builder, is a picture of another great carpenter. Can I say it that way? Jesus, who provided salvation because he did everything that God commanded him. He didn't cut corners. Well, Lord, what if I do? Nope, he did everything. Noah held a hammer in his hand. Jesus took the brunt of a hammer and a nail in his hand. Noah built with wood. Jesus was pinned to the wood. Noah constructed a big old honking door. Jesus said, I am the big old honking door. No one's getting there. Got to come through me, right? Noah covered everything, every nook and cranny with pitch or atonement. So did Jesus.
Our time with you today on Burning Hearts is coming to a close, but that doesn't mean you have to stop studying the Word. Take some time today to review the passage from the book of Genesis or turn to another book in the Bible. There's so much to learn from Scripture, and we're glad you've chosen to study it with us. If you missed any part of today's teaching or want to explore more of Pastor Michael's message, head on over to our website, thealpinechapel.com. If you're in the Telluride area and would like to come visit us this weekend, we'd love to have you do so. The Alpine Chapel meets every Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 9 a.m. to worship, learn from the Bible, and just enjoy being together as a family of faith. If you're curious about any unknowns before you come, look under the menu at thealpinechapel.com and find I'm New Here FAQs. There's some helpful information there for you. Again, that website is thealpinechapel.com. An easy way to get in touch with us for any questions or comments is by going to the contacts page. You can send us an email with anything you're wondering about, or if you just want to get in touch, be sure to let us know you've been listening to Burning Hearts. And you can also share with us what you've been learning from the teachings. You can also submit prayer requests that you feel comfortable sharing. Although our time with you today has come to an end, we're thankful that you've tuned in. And we look forward to the next edition, right here on Burning Hearts.